You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matthew Leach talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter Todd Zielecki. Todd, I always get a kick out of comps on draft day because some of them make a lot of sense and some of them are really silly. And sometimes you get a guy like Cornelius Randolph where the names that get thrown about, it's almost like the who are three people who have never been in my kitchen. Dimitri Young, Tony Gwynn, Robinson Cano. The only thing I can put together out of those three guys is that they weren't just good hitters. They had an elite hit tool. Is that really the key? I mean, we heard about this guy as an offensive player, but is the real key not just power, that he's got that potentially elite hit tool?
Yes, I absolutely think that that's the case with him. You know, talking to Johnny Almaraz, their new amateur scouting director, before the draft, we talked to him about how the organization really doesn't have any power in it, and wouldn't you like to have power? And he says, you know, I like hitters, guys that can actually hit the baseball, and in some cases the power will come, but I like pure hitters. And they see that in Randolph. You know, a lot of people said he was one of the best, if not the best, high school hitter in the draft. But they also think that this is a guy who will hit for power at some point. So I think I wrote this the other day. If he comes anywhere near those three guys, they will be beyond over the moon thrilled with their pick. I mean, we're talking about three elite hitters over an extended period of time, certainly with Gwynn and Robinson Cano. But they seem pretty thrilled that they have this guy with the 10th overall pick.
Now, the other thing that jumps out, and again, I don't want to make too much of names that people are throwing on a guy when he's 18. I remember the names that were attached to Pete Cosma, and there were things like it was Derek Jeter and Skip Schumacher. So, you know, I don't want to make too much of it. But the other thing that does raise a little bit of a yellow flag is that, with the exception of Cano, those are not exactly good body guys.
Right.
Is there some concern? You already wrote Randolph is likely to play in the outfield, but is there some concern about how he develops physically? Is he likely to be? Is there any worry about him kind of not being a good body guy?
You know, honestly, Matthew, I haven't heard too much of that. I think, you know, the fact that, you know, granted, he's a high school shortstop, and you know, most of your best players play shortstop in high school, but they think he's athletic enough that it won't be an issue, but certainly he's not athletic enough to play shortstop in everyday basis. Immediately in that press conference, one of the first things Johnny Almaraz said was he's going to move to left field. So, you know, is that a concern? Perhaps. But I'll be honest, I think the Phillies look at it and say, you know what, if this guy hits and he can put up numbers close to, you know, whatever, look at Dimitri Young's numbers over a 10-year span. If you can put up those numbers, I think with the way the game is going right now, where it's so tough to find hitters, that they would happily take that.
Yeah, and you set me up for something else I wanted to ask about, because I think there's an interesting question here. There's this, the sort of conventional wisdom is there's no power in the game, everybody needs power. But there really is power. When you know, power on contact is kind of the same as it's ever been. What is hard to find is singles, is base hits. Do you think, beyond that being just a personal philosophy, do you think that the sort of context of the game today, the offensive shape of the game today, magnifies the need for guys who can just get base hits?
I think so, and I think that's exactly what the Phillies tried to do in this draft. 13 of their first 18 picks were position players, and they think that all these guys have potential to hit. You know, I think it was the 14th round pick, Austin Bozarty, the catcher out of Penn. Johnny Almaraz said something interesting. I thought, you know, he said, look at big league catchers right now. Big league catchers, on average, are hitting .233. If Austin Bozarty can hit .240, .250, we consider ourselves, you know, we consider that a win for us, you know, at the big league level. So, you know, they really went hard with the hitters early. And his philosophy is, you know, you can draft a lot of college pitchers in that 18 to 28, 30 round range that can throw in the low 90s that might be able to pick it up a notch. And if not, could still be effective relief pitchers, maybe even a starting pitcher. So kind of a new philosophy, a different philosophy for the Phillies. load up on hitters early and go with those college pitchers late, believing that, you know, believing that pitching right now is easier to find. And they just want to, like, load that organization right now with exactly what you said, just guys that can get base hits, guys can hit some balls in the gap, not necessarily hit home runs, but you just need guys that can, you know, get on base and score some runs.
And you kind of set me up again for my next, what a pro you are, for my next question, which is what sort of philosophical differences did you see broadly in this draft under the new regime, not a new general manager, but a new scouting director, as they, and really a pivotal draft? What did you sort of see broadly philosophically from them this time around?
Yeah, well, we just talked about, you know, they went hitters high, and then they went I think it was 10 consecutive pitchers between rounds 18 to 27 or something like that. But a couple other things. We heard a lot less of this guy's an athlete with high ceiling. Now, we heard guys being athletic and high ceiling, but here's the difference, what I'm trying to say, is it was a lot of this guy knows how to play baseball. He's a baseball player with a high ceiling, not so much he's an athlete with a high ceiling. Johnny Almaraz made a point to say he wants to draft guys that play the game, know how to play the game, have instincts for the game, rather than going like, this guy's an unbelievable athlete. If we can just tap into that athletic talent, you know, hey, this guy played football, this guy was on the track team, this guy also played baseball, he's just a great athlete, if we can just tap into that, we might have something. No, he wanted baseball players with high ceilings. So he talked a lot about that before the draft and then during the draft. And another thing that I thought was interesting, I was just finishing up with my interview with him the other day, and just kind of out of nowhere, he goes, you know, another thing about these guys is they all have really good numbers. And I said, well, yeah, you know, of course, high school kids always have great numbers. You're not getting drafted if you don't get great numbers. But then he kind of added, he said, Scott Friedman and our analytics team really played a big role in helping us kind of narrow guys down. And I'd never really heard that before. So they really seem to take analytics into the draft as much as possible. And he said, he's like, listen, I'm as old school as anybody, but I really think that this is an important part of the game. So any little extra bit of information can help us. And really the Phillies have been criticized a lot for not taking analytics seriously enough. So I thought that was kind of refreshing to hear him say that.
Yeah. Now, we can actually talk a little bit about the 2015 Phillies, though, as usual, we may be talking about guys who may not continue to be 2015 Phillies. It seems like there's a new round of Jonathan Papelbon rumors swirling. And as we've discussed, he seems like the one guy who might not necessarily wait until July 31st. Where does that stand? Do you get the feeling that there might be some momentum building towards him going somewhere?
I think there's definitely some momentum building. There's a lot more interest. You know, the Blue Jays and Cubs have been reported as being interested teams, and they are interested teams. I think, again, though, it comes down to the Phillies have come this far. They're willing to gamble that Jonathan Papelbon stays healthy and pitches effectively up until July 31st. So in their mind, while their talks are heating up with the Blue Jays and the Cubs, they haven't gotten that prospect or prospects back that they just feel like they're going to give up for Jonathan Papelbon. So I think they're kind of really holding to their guns. Whether or not that comes back to bite them remains to be seen. But at this moment, I think their thinking is, you know what, we can still trade him a month from now. And a month from now, a couple of these teams might be a little bit more desperate. The lead, maybe their division lead or wild card lead might be shrinking a little bit. Maybe there's a couple more blown saves here or there. And they might go, all right, let's make this happen. Because I think two things that the Phillies are thinking about is, one is the Cliff Lee trade to the Mariners in December 2009. They can't have a repeat of that. And the other, I just lost my train of thought, but basically they don't want to give up on these guys too early. Like I said, they've come this far, and they feel that, you know, they can wait another month to get what they want, and you know, time will tell. They're willing to eat money to trade Papelbon to get the prospects back, so it's not a money dump situation either.
And then one last thing. There was some speculation, and I just wanted to ask you, because it kind of makes sense, but it also kind of doesn't, that some of the little moves the Phillies have made recently, for example, bringing in Kevin Correa, a couple of the minor league free agent signings that they've made to bring bodies in, there's been some speculation that maybe that's sort of preparing them to trade some guys just so they have warm bodies if they do make trades. Do you think that's a decent connection to draw, or are those kind of unrelated?
Yeah, I think they're related somewhat. I don't think it's the completely the reason, like, you know, this is imminent, we've got to get some guys in here because something's going to happen. But I definitely think that that's kind of in the back of their mind. They need depth in the system overall. I think, you know, Gutierrez, who signed over from who opted out of his contract with the Giants, signed with the Phillies. He's in AAA. I think he sees more of an opportunity to make the big leagues here. But certainly, once these guys are traded, they're going to need people. Now, if they trade, say, Cole Hamels and Aaron Harang, it would not surprise me if Aaron Nola is one of those guys called up. But, you know, they still might need another arm somewhere. So I think, and same thing with the bullpen, they need some people to fill some holes. So, yeah, I think that is related, but I don't think it's the only reason why they're doing it, in the sense that it's not like, uh-oh, we're like days away from trading all these guys. We better get some people in here fast.
Gotcha. All right, well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.